We're opening our Bibles tonight for the message to the 10th chapter of John. John chapter 10. Now our Lord Jesus Christ is called in verse 11, the Good Shepherd. He said in verse 11 of John 10, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He is the shepherd appointed by the Father. He is the shepherd ordained by the Father. He is the shepherd who has been given the care of all his sheep. And the good shepherd goes out into the wilderness to seek the lost sheep and to bring it home again. The good shepherd gives his life to redeem the sheep and to ransom the sheep. And Christ was fond of this title, the shepherd of the sheep. And he is the good shepherd. But then in Hebrews, if you'll hold John 10 for a moment, turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And here in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, verse 20, our Lord is called the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd, ordained and appointed of the Father, and given the care of all the sheep. And the good shepherd does not hesitate to lay down his life for the sheep. In Hebrews 13:20, he is called the great shepherd. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd because he has accomplished the task given him to perform. He is the great shepherd because he is victorious over sin. He is the great shepherd because he has defeated the enemy, he has redeemed the sheep, and he is victorious over death, over hell, over the grave, and over the judgment for sin. But turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. He is not only called the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. As I said, he's fond of this title, the shepherd. And it's used frequently, not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, in reference to the work of Christ. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And the great shepherd was brought again from the dead because he won the victory. The great shepherd was victorious over sin, defeated the enemy, and redeemed all the sheep. Not a one of them shall be lost. Not a one of them shall be lost. And he frequently declared this. This is my Father's will, that of all he hath given me, I'll lose nothing. Not a one of them shall be lost. Like the people coming out of Egypt, redeemed Israel, not a hoof left behind. And here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, our Lord Jesus is called the chief shepherd. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he's the good shepherd who giveth his life. He's the great shepherd who is victorious, but here is a new title. He is called the chief shepherd. Now, there are three reasons for this. The first of which is this. He is the chief shepherd because he is God. God over all, blessed forever. Christ is the chief shepherd because he's the chief of everything. He's the head of the body. He is the president of the church. He is the chief shepherd. He hath all authority in heaven and earth. All things shall bow and confess that he's Lord. All things in heaven, earth, and hell. He is the chief shepherd because he is God over all. And then he is the chief shepherd because the sheep belong to him. They're his. Over in Oriental countries, they used to have under-shepherds. And the chief shepherd was always the owner of the flock. They were his, and therefore that made him the chief shepherd. And then he is the chief shepherd because all other bishops, all other pastors, all other elders are under him. They are sent by him. Go back a few verses in 1 Peter 5. In verse 4, he's called the chief shepherd. But now watch verse 1 through 3. The elders which are among you, Paul said, I exhort. I am also an elder, and I am also a witness of the sufferings of Christ, And also I am a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And I exhort you elders to feed the flock of God which is among you, and to take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not being forced to do it, but willingly, and not for filthy lucre, for payment, but of a ready mind. And not being a lord over God's heritage, a dictator, but being an example to the flock. You under shepherds, you elders and pastors and teachers. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he who owns the flock, who is chief of all, when he shall appear, if you've been faithful, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Our Lord was fond of this title, the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. Writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul called him the great shepherd. And writing also under the inspiration, God breathed the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Peter called him the chief shepherd. In our text, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, talks about his sheep. Now here's my text tonight, John chapter 10, verse 27. Our Lord Jesus Christ talks about his sheep. He's the good shepherd who redeems them. He is the great shepherd who's won the victory for them. He is the chief shepherd, God over all, who controls all things, whose sheep, to whom the sheep belong. He is the chief shepherd, and now he talks about his sheep. First of all, in verse 14, he says, they are my sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. They're my sheep. He says in verse 27, my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. Years ago, a great old preacher of the gospel, now dead, preached a sermon from this text in John chapter 10, and he called his message, How the Good Shepherd Receives His Sheep. And he had a three-point outline. And he says, first of all, the good shepherd received his sheep by divine decree. Where did Christ get his sheep? He says, they're mine. They're mine. I know my sheep. And my sheep hear my voice. Well, first of all, he received them by divine decree. Now read verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Now, the proper translation of verse 29 is this. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater and mightier than all else. Where did Christ get his sheep? The Father gave them to him. The Father gave them to him. Turn to John, the 6th chapter, verse 37. And listen to Christ here. This is the Lord Jesus speaking in John 6:37. He says, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Where did he get his sheep? The Father gave them to him. That's where he got his sheep. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Where did Christ get his sheep? The old white-haired preacher who was preaching this sermon said, first of all, he got his sheep by divine decree from the hand of the Father. Turn to John 17. We find the Lord Jesus talking about these sheep again. Here in John 17, which everybody knows is the high priestly prayer of our Lord. It is the high priest interceding for his own. It is the high priest taking the names of the beloved before the throne of the Father, right into the Holy of Holies, and pleading his righteousness and his blood. And six times in this one prayer, he prays for those that the Father hath given him. Look first of all at verse 2. Christ said, Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And then in verse 6, he said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. And then in verse 9, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for them which thou hast given me. And in verse 11, he said, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. In verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And then in verse 20, neither pray I for thee, verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Where did the Lord Jesus get his sheep? He calls them his. He said, they're my sheep. He got them, first of all, by divine decree from the hand of the Father. Secondly, the old man went on preaching the sermon. He said, secondly, the Lord Jesus receives his sheep by his death. He bought them. He bought them. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. He bought them. The Lord Jesus bought them. The Scripture says, you're not your own, you're bought. You're bought with a price. It is the blood of the Son of God. He bought his sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I laid down my life. I gave my life for my sheep. That's how I got them. The Father gave them to me, but I had to redeem them, first of all, from the captivity of sin. And then I had to redeem them from the captivity of the law. And then I had to reconcile these sheep unto the Father, for they were enemies of God. In 1 Peter 1, verse 18, it says, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold. Now, you pawn a watch, you go down to the pawn shop, you pay for it with silver and gold. But when a soul is pawned to sin and to the law, you don't pay for it with silver and gold. You pay for it with blood. So we're not redeemed with silver and gold, but we're redeemed, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Where'd Christ get his sheep? The Father gave them to him. The Father gave them to him. Before the world began, the Father, in an eternal covenant of mercy, gave a people to his Son. But the Son came down here to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and bought those sheep. They're his not only by divine decree, they're his by death. He died that he might be Lord of the dead and of the living. He knows them, for he died for them, and he intercedes for them. He prayed for them. And then thirdly, where did he get his sheep? Well, he received them by a divine call. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul describes this. In Galatians the first chapter, verse 15. Now listen to this. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, back before I was born, he gave me to his Son. Back before my mother's womb, before I was ever fashioned in the womb and brought forth into the world, the Father chose me. He knew me. He sanctified me. But it pleased him in the fullness of time to call me by his grace. To call me by his grace and reveal his Son who died for me in me. God calls the sheep to Christ, first of all, by his Spirit. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 16, when the Holy Spirit is come, he will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. He shall glorify me. God calls his people by his Spirit, and he calls them by his Word. He says, my word will not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that whereunto I have sent it. The sword of God is the word of God that pierces the heart, the imagination, the thoughts, and the mind. And God calls his people not only by his Spirit and by his word, but he calls them by his ministers. Turn to Acts chapter 13. How did Christ get his sheep? Well, first of all, the Father gave them to him. They were the gift of the Father in the covenant of mercy. He gave his Son a people innumerable out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven, a people as the sands of the sea, shore, a people as many as the stars of the universe. He gave them to Christ. Christ Jesus bought them. He bought them by His blood, bought them from the law, bought them from sin, reconciled them to the Father. And then in the fullness of time, the Holy Spirit comes to those people to whom the Father hath given to the Son, those people for whom Christ died, those people who are in the darkness of sin, and the Holy Spirit calls them. He uses the Word, and He calls them by His ministers. It says in Acts chapter 13, verse 46, listen now. Then Paul and Barnabas, ministers of Christ, waxed bold, and they said, it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you, talking to Israel. But seeing that you put it from you, judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, that Paul was going to preach to them, that the Word of God was being sent to them, and when they heard this, listen, they were glad. They were glad, for without the gospel, nobody's going to be saved. They were glad. Oh, when they heard Paul say, all right, Israel, you have been judicially blinded. You've turned your back on the Messiah, on the Christ. We turn to the Gentiles, for God has already told me I'd be a light to the Gentiles to take salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. They glorified the Word of God. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. They believed. I do not find anywhere in the Word of God any indication or any hint that God chooses to call His sheep by dreams or visions or spectacular experiences. I don't find that anywhere in the Word of God. I find that God is pleased to call His sheep to Himself by His Spirit, using the Word of God, and by faithful ministers of the gospel. It is through the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and a faithful minister of the gospel that a man learns that he's a sinner, that a man learns that Christ died for sinners, that a man learns that the Savior suffered on the cross to redeem the lost, that a man learns that by turning to Christ through faith, he can have eternal life. How did Christ get His sheep? The Father gave them to Him. He said that, all that My Father giveth Me shall come to Me. I pray not for the world, I pray for them which Thou hast given Me. You want to spend your time explaining that? You're welcome to it. If you want to spend your time denying it, you're welcome to that. If you want to spend your time arguing against it, you're welcome to that. All I know is the Bible says the Father gave the Son a people. And I believe it. And the Bible says that the Son bought them with His blood. And the Bible said, whom He hath predestinated, He called. And whom He called, He justified. And whom He justified, He glorified. That's what the Word of God says. All whom He predestinated will be and are called, and they are called by the Holy Spirit. And they're called by the Word of God, the quick, powerful, piercing, penetrating, convincing Word of God. And that comes from the mouth of a minister of the gospel or a faithful witness of Christ Jesus. That's how He got His sheep. He calls them My sheep. All right, quickly, turn back to John 10. Let's look at our text again. My sheep. My sheep. My sheep hear My voice. They hear My voice. Now, will you stay with me a minute? Preacher, do not all men have access to the Word of God? Yes, most men do. Do not almost all people occasionally hear the words of a preacher? That's right, they do. They hear the words of a preacher. But they don't really hear the words. They hear, but they don't hear. You say you're talking in riddles. Well, if I am, the Lord Jesus did too. Because if you'll turn to Matthew 13, I want you to hear what He says in Matthew 13, verse 9. Now, what I'm saying is this. Even here tonight, there are people hearing My words who are not hearing them. There are people here tonight who are hearing the gospel who are not hearing the gospel. They were hearing words, and that's all they heard. You know, Paul said, "Brethren, I thank God for you. And I know your election, because our gospel didn't come to you in word only. It came to you in power, in understanding, in the Holy Spirit, in much assurance." There are people here who are hearing but are not hearing. They're seeing but they're not seeing. Now listen to Christ. Matthew 13, verse 9. "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak unto them in parables, in stories?" He said, "Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." To them it's not given. You're a special people. You're the sheep of Christ. And God, in His supernatural power, has given you understanding of the mysteries of the gospel. He hasn't given it to them. The gospel is a mystery, my friend, whether you know it or not. It's a mystery that must be revealed. Now read on. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because," listen, this is Christ speaking, "I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand." "If you be the Christ, tell us plainly." He said, "I told you. But you don't hear me, because you're not my sheep. You don't understand, because you're not my sheep." Read on. "And in these people is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes." He's talking to the apostles, talking to the sheep. "Blessed are your eyes, they see. And oh, thank God for your ears, they hear. They hear." Preacher, nearly everybody knows the story of Jesus. I know they do. But they don't. They've heard it, but they haven't heard it. They've seen it in pictures, but they've never believed it. He said, "I told you, the works that I do, they bear witness of me, but you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice." They hear my voice because God's given them ears with which to hear it. They see my glory because God's given them eyes with which to see my glory. They understand the mysteries of the gospel because God's given them a heart to understand it. You know what's wrong with some of us? Turn to Matthew or Mark chapter 7. I'll show you what's wrong with some of us today. What's wrong with us is the same thing that's wrong with our great-great-granddaddies. Some of us today are blinded by religious tradition. We are blinded by religious customs and religious traditions. We've been taught error and falsehood, and we've hid ourselves in these refuges of lies, and the true light of the gospel can't get through to us. Look at Mark chapter 7, verse 6. "He answered and said unto them," this is Christ speaking again, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips." They sing the doxology. They sing majestic sweetness sits enthroned. They sing a mighty fortress is our God. They sing how great thou art. They honor me with their lips. But their hearts are far from me. Howbeit in vain they worship me. They teach for doctrines the commandments of men. Laying aside the commandments of God, just putting them aside altogether, they hold to the traditions of men, washing pots and washing hands and washing cups and taking so many steps and doing without meat, abstaining from marriage, all of these different things. They teach for the doctrines of God, the commandments of men, and laying aside the commandments of God, they're teaching all these things and many other such things you do. And he said unto them, full well, you reject the word of God, that you may keep
your own Baptist doctrine, Methodism, Catholicism, Lutheranism, Calvinism, Presbyterianism, and every other ism. You reject the Word of God and hold on to your so-called training and teaching and tradition. This is the way I was brought up. I know that. And this is the way they've brought up too. And Christ said they've rejected God's Word. It's right there in front of them, but they will not have it because that's not the way they've been taught. You reject the commandments of God that you may keep your tradition. The tradition of the Church of God or the Church of Christ or the Nazarene or the Baptist or the Methodist or something else. You reject the Word of God because that's not the way it's taught in your denominations. That's what these people did. And Christ called them hypocrites. But my sheep, he said, they'll hear my voice. You'll find one here and one yonder and one somewhere else, and I'll walk by and say, Matthew, follow me, and he'll get up and follow me. Zacchaeus, come down. He'll come down. And then notice the next thing in John 10. I've got to hurry. He says, My sheep, hear my voice. And they what? They follow me. Now, there are two prominent marks of a believer. The ear and the foot. Listen to it. They follow me. My sheep do what? They hear and they follow. That's the ear and the foot. They follow me. They follow His commandments, first of all. If you love me, He said, you'll keep my commandments. You're my friends if you do what I command you. What are His commandments? Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Here they are briefly summed up in the words of Christ Himself. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 35, a lawyer asked Him, saying, Master, which is the greatest law or greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They follow my commandments. They follow my example. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet made himself of no reputation. They follow my example. And then they follow his glory. They seek no glory for themselves, they seek his glory. The glory of Christ becomes the end of all that we do. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do it for the glory of God. And then back to our text again, and I close with this. Our Lord said, My sheep, will hear my voice. God enables them to hear. And they'll follow me. This is the mark of a disciple. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you keep my commandments, if you love one another. And then I give them eternal life. I give them life from the death of sin. I give them life from the death of the grave. Because I live, ye shall live. I give them life from the death of judgment. Turn to Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, verse 31, the Master speaks and he says, When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And then shall he set the sheep on his right hand. And then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, the sheep, Come ye blessed of my Father. That's where it all started. The Father gave us to the Son. And the Son redeemed us by His blood. And the Holy Spirit called us to Himself. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of this world. The shepherd is going to give life to his people. Life from the death of sin, life from the death of the grave, and life from the death of judgment and eternal condemnation. I want you to take your hymn books. Would you bring me one, Ronnie, please, sir? And I want you to turn to a song. I want to tell you the story about this song. It is entitled, the song is entitled, It Is Well With My Soul. And it's found on page 256 in your hymn book, number 256. And the man who wrote this song is named H.G. Spafford. It's up in the left-hand corner. He was born in 1828, died in 1888. He lived 60 years. He was married. This man, H.G. Spafford, was married and lived in Chicago, Illinois. He was a successful businessman. He wasn't a preacher. He was a Christian, a believer, and a very successful businessman. He had a wife and five children. His wife went on a vacation with the four youngest children. Four of them left one at home, and she caught a ship. The name of the ship was the Villa de Marveille, and she was sailing for France. And on the way to France, this ship collided with another vessel, said to be a sailing vessel. And the ship went down in less than 30 minutes. All four of the children were drowned. His wife was picked up. She was rescued from the wreckage, and she was taken to Wales, from which country she sent a telegram back to her husband, H.G. Spafford, saved but alone. And this great Christian businessman who loved the Lord more than he loved anything on earth, sat down and wrote this song and dedicated it to the memory of his four children. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and he hath shed his own blood for my soul, my sin. Oh, the bliss of that glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumpet shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it's well with my soul. I want us to sing that as a closing hymn tonight. Number 256. I'll ask you to stand together and let's sing all four stanzas of this great hymn written out of a broken heart under the inspiration, I believe, of God, and expressing the assurance of every believer, every sheep of Christ, because of His love, it's well with my soul. Let's sing 256.